Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. With me, as always,
Ben Vanel here. No shtick this week, boys.
What a change.
He's really fallen out of love with the shtick, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, hey, look, saying no shtick this week generates as much laughter and banter as having shtick.
That's my new intro. My name's Adam Knox. I make a noise expressing my emotions every week. Oh, God! There's this week's one.
The human soundboard, we call it.
I'll be back. Exclusive.
Oh, okay.
Where'd you find that?
Monster Kill.
Yeah. What else is on soundboard? They're just noises.
You'd have some Arnie in there. You'd have some Arnold Schwarzenegger quotes in there.
Yeah. Would you?
Because remember.
No, you all think that soundboards are like 2003 flash prank call soundboards.
That's what I mean. That's the origin of the soundboard is Arnie quotes. Get to the chopper.
A soundboard before that would have been the commercial radio station noises.
Soundboard?
Yeah.
It's describing our audience.
Yeah, there we go. That's beautiful stuff. And you can
It made perfect sense.
You can
honest.
Hear quips like that if you come to my Melbourne International Comedy Festival show that's on until Sunday, the 4th of April at the Coopers Inn, 7:30. A few tickets left at comedyfestival.com.au. We started last night. We got Ben Vanel on the ones and twos.
Yeah.
Mic'd up, piping in at intervals.
Get to the chopper. Get to the chopper.
Maybe I'll do that tonight.
I'll be back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the final night, let's do something a bit silly. Let's both pretend to be Arnie for the whole show.
Whoa. And like, don't even bring it up. Like, don't even explain it the whole time.
Yeah. A point in pop culture where the funniest thing that anyone could think of was to not bring something up. What a time that was. But here we are. We're on a podcast. Mm. We're bringing that up.
I'll bring up anything.
It's unavoidable.
I'll talk about anything. I'll talk about Monster Hunter later. I'll bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
You'll bring it up too.
That'd be funnier if we didn't, though.
Yeah, oh, man. Imagine we just didn't explain it.
If we reviewed it, but we didn't say what the game was or something. Funny.
Not heaps of... Speaking of things not getting brought up, not a lot of news getting brought up.
Yeah.
We are within... I think probably within the window of us recording this and releasing it, there's going to be a new Kojima Studios game announced. That seems to be the scuttlebutt. Mm-hmm. Someone who works at that...
Adam's scuttlebutt corner.
Yeah. Scuttling around. Or like if I was scuttling on my butt, I'd be like... You know, because
rattling around.
Like a dog with
a big ass.
A dog with worms. Scuttling on your butt.
I guess so,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam just dragging himself on the carpet into the newsroom. I've heard this rumor.
Get up. No. All the muck that's fit to rake out of my own asshole to try and deal with these worms. So there was like a rumor that they were about to announce something soon. I don't know if Kojima posted something or not, but people who work at that studio were like, stay tuned within the next day. There's going to be a big announcement. And it seems to be a new game or their next, you know, an announcement of their next game.
Yeah. If this announcement is about to happen, today might be a good day to buy shares in Big Bouncing Breasts. Because their stock is about to skyrocket after this announcement.
Big Bouncing Breasts have inflated hugely today. Get a load of those stonkers. That's like a pretty... It could be like a Death Stranding upgrade for PS5 or something. There's a chance that it's something kind of lame.
Mm-hmm.
But it appears as though it's a Kojima Studios new project announcement thing.
I mean, that would be cool. That game already looked really great.
Kojima Productions? Sorry.
Yes.
Productions or Studio?
I think it's Productions.
It is Productions, yeah.
Yeah, a nice little upgrade on the PS5 would be pretty great. It already looked really good. It'd be interesting to see how much further they could push the graphical style of that game.
I've already been thinking about going back to that game for some reason. I'd like to just do all the other open world stuff, build some shit, and make some freeways.
I've got to actually do it. I need a little window of time where nothing's come out, which I feel like this might be the year.
Yeah,
possibly. Because we're light on for a few months this year. We'll see. But
a couple of things have just come out that I'm interested in. But yeah, maybe within the next couple of months.
If it is, so assuming that this has been announced by the time the episode goes up.
Ah, of course, right.
This will be pointless.
Yep.
What would you like to see from a Kojima Productions production?
I mean, I ended up loving Death Stranding.
Yeah.
And it's unlike anything I'd ever played before. So I want him to do something brand new and something very surprising. I don't think I want a stealth game. You know, I don't want a Metal Gear Solid-esque thing.
Yeah.
Because that's not what Death Stranding was. And it ended up being like weird and kind of fucked in some ways and it's kind of boring in other ways, but a real work of art.
Right. Well, the prevailing rumor is that it's going to be a horror thing.
Right.
Because of PT. And that I think he's said some stuff where he's like, I'd love to make a horror game still. That's my bag, baby. I want to fucking get out there. And everyone's like, whoa. But I mean, that's what I love, man.
That's an amazing technique that he has.
Get you click out.
Real way of building tension and relief.
Huge titties going. You're like, oh, no. That's so disrespectful.
I'm shocked by how big they are.
Oh, God. I'm shocked by my deeds and actions. Now I'm ashamed of them.
I mean, given how long Death Stranding took to actually come out, it feels like whatever is announced potentially by the time this is out, we will not live to see it released. So well, it's pointless us getting excited.
They set up a whole studio and shit, though. Like, that took only about 3 to 4 years from when
I guess it wasn't really that long, but it felt like we were hearing about it for a very, very long time.
Yeah, it was a few E3s of just cinematic trailers, I remember. I mean, we talked about it, so it made it seem like it was longer, probably.
I think that was the thing, too. We saw so many of those like pre-cut trailers without ever having really much idea of what the gameplay actually was.
Well, and it was such a talked-about thing, partly because of the circumstances surrounding the formation of that studio and everything. Yeah. So I think this will probably come out quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not, who knows. But I doubt they would... I mean, if they're announcing it now, it's only like a year and a bit outside of Death Stranding.
Yeah, I just looked up the release date. It was November 2019 was Death Stranding. Yeah, right. So that's not a long time ago at all.
And then I don't know if they worked on the PC version, if that was another studio, but maybe they put some work into that afterwards. But whatever it is, it'll probably, be a while off.
Yeah.
But
now, Tommy, you hadn't heard anything about this. Neither had I, to be honest. So I've looked up an article about it, Game Rant. Here is what they've written. According to a recent interview
Say it like a rant.
I am.
Oh, okay.
I'm a white man. What? According to a recent interview with art director Yoji Shinkawa, Kojima Productions may be about to unveil what game it could potentially be working on next. He said he was currently, quote, doing something and that he may be able to give more details, quote, quite soon. So I think that's all that's going on.
I hope this is one of those
things. There was
things
another guy
just...
who worked there who tweeted yesterday. Like, there was some more stuff this week. I forget the specifics. I'm sorry to be your source of news without a source, but I'll never give away my sources.
Yeah, I mean that's
even if they're publicly available.
Oh yeah,
that's
okay.
What Scuttlebutt's all about.
Yeah,
you don't have to. You know, the beauty of Scuttlebutt is that there's no citation needed nor required.
Do you know I heard that Kojima called you a dickhead? Yeah, that's the... Can you not hear me from over there because I'm whispering?
No, I could hear you. I was saying what, as in like, how dare you?
Wow, that's surprising. Yeah. That's the scuttlebutt lately. Kojima thinks that you're cute. Because, it looks like a boob.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yes.
Love those would.
Stubbly boobs.
We would get on famously.
Sorry, Nox, to back you up, I got another article here from comicbook.com. So only the best sources on Filthy Casuals.
Twitter.com.
According to a new potential tease from one prominent developer at the studio, They could have some, quote, important news to share tomorrow. That's March 31st.
Yes.
This so would be sick if this is all just like, you know, as commonly happens, it's like, whoops, we translated the Japanese wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was saying he was excited this guy, for lunch.
Yeah, this guy, whoever was the tweeter, is a native English speaker.
Yeah, Ludwig Forssell. Maybe not. Maybe he's European, but...
whatever it is, the tweet was in English.
Right.
And that, to me, suggests truth.
Big Ludwig coming out with the exclusive.
But again, it's unknown if this was associated with something happening at Kojima Productions or this guy's personal life.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. That'd be so funny if Ludwig's having a baby.
Exactly, yeah.
And now because we've brought it up, we are going to have to follow up next week and be like,
sure.
I don't know, guys, what gender do you think it might be?
Oh, dude, the big gender reveal's coming this E3. Find out whether it's a PlayStation or a Switch.
Mm.
Like blue and red is kind of close.
Yeah.
To
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or green yeah. for Xbox. Green.
So yeah, that's the level of news that there is this week. Someone tweeted something that could mean anything. Mm. The other thing that's kind of nothing because it's happened a million times, but I think is just like one of those things where it happens so much that it's like, why are you fucking can't even bother to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Crash Bandicoot 4, remember that game?
Yep.
It's out on PC now.
Mm-hmm.
But they put in the thing that a bunch of games have done where it has to be connected online function.
It was released through Activision Battle.net, I think, which sucks. I don't think I've ever used that.
When it was just the Blizzard games that were on there, it was like their launch. And there's 150,000 fucking launches on the,
exactly,
on the PC,
yeah.
Which is, you know, what it is. But
it's a place where you can put an ad.
Yeah. And your own games.
Yeah.
So they put it out on that and you've got to, it's single player only still. Mm. There's no multiplayer in that game and you've got to be online though to even play it.
Yeah.
If it can't connect to the server, you cannot open it.
Yeah.
There's couch co-op. Stupidly.
Right,
couch co-op.
There's no online stuff.
There's no online multiplayer.
But what if I want to take my PC on a plane
you
and play it?
You can fuck off.
How am I going to do that?
You can shut the fuck up. Oh, fuck. Is what you can do.
Is this Crash saying this
actually,
to me?
You know what you can... Yeah. He's saying, whoa! I'm amazed at how much of a dick you are! You know what you can do? You can download the pirated version that was cracked within a day.
Great.
Yeah.
So... And that always happens every time they do this fucking stuff, unless it's like a Destiny or whatever where they're contacting the server to download some of the content of the game and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And they've got like cheat prevention stuff, right? Like a lot of those online multiplayer games, that's part of what it's for.
And they don't always work, but that is why they're doing it. But a lot of them are just DRM, which stands for digital rights management, I found out. Yeah. Copy protection bullshit.
What else could
I thought it stood for?
Yeah.
Damn.
Ranuel.
Damn, Ranuel. Mm.
Mac at it again with the wide bands. Is that what you thought it stood for?
That's what I thought it stood for. Oh, wow. Damn, Ranuel, Mac at it again with the white vans.
That's pretty weird that you thought that. What did you think it stood for, Ben? You
don't ride me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to my boss. Don't ride me.
Don't ride me.
Come on.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys. That's crazy that you both thought that for real.
Yeah.
No, it's just fucking, it makes the product worse for someone who's legitimately purchasing it.
Yeah.
Versus a pirated version, which always show up. So I'm just sick of that bullshit. And it's just interesting. For some reason, this one really got people's hackles up where they're like, again, motherfucker?
I think just in principle, like you said, there's no there's no online multiplayer. There's nothing related to... Mm. Yeah.
Even games like Hitman, all those Hitman games where they want to be online all the time. You can play them offline, but they're like, but none of that stuff will work when you go online.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all separate and you're living...
You're only hurting yourself.
You're on your own if you're off the grid.
Yep.
It just is a frustrating way to have to, because like...
And especially when it's a port of an existing version that does not have to be online. Makes it even more stupid.
Yeah. And like the even if you have internet at home, which most people do now, you don't always have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes shit fucks up.
Sometimes mum's on the phone.
Sometimes. Yeah, exactly. Hang on, mum. I want to play Crash Bandicoot.
Play Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time. It's about time that you got off the phone to Auntie Sue so that I can try and clear this level.
Yeah, so that stuff's still going. Mm-hmm. Worth mentioning.
Yes.
The other online-related thing.
Well,
you're on the dial-up. I'm wanting to play as Dingo Dial. Up.
Oh, yeah.
Dingo Dial's a character in the game.
Is he called Dingo Dial?
He's called Dingo Dial.
Yeah,
now,
Dingo
why do you
Dial.
Think that might be?
Is he a modem? Why is he...
Seriously?
I don't.
It's a combination of a dingo
yeah.
and another Australian animal.
A dial?
Yeah.
Yes.
What's a dial?
A dialysis machine.
What so are you talking
about? Crocodile!
He's half dingo, half dialysis machine.
I was thinking of the spelling in my head, and so
he's
it made
dingo,
no sense.
He's half dingo, half dial-up modem. Yeah, right. It's that simple.
Terrifying.
Crash brought Bandicoot.
What?
Oh, that one makes more sense than dingo dial-up. Crash Broad Bandicoot.
Oh, yeah. Crash Broad Bandicoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's good.
Son
that's,
of a bitch.
That's really clearer. Good. That's really good.
That is
good.
Much clearer.
NBNEO Cortex.
Yes, here we go. Now we're cooking.
You want to fucking talk Crash internet
we're
puns?
Yeah.
I'll fuck you up. What's his sister's name?
I don't know. That's what I was trying to think
it's
of.
Coco, isn't it?
Yeah.
Game?
I think it's actually iiNet.
Yep. Dodo.
Right. Dodo. Dodo. Dodo Bandicoot.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Famous internet provider in Australia.
Yeah.
People who don't know for our foreign brothers and sisters.
Welcome.
I can't wait to, now that we've done all this, I can't wait to play this game on PC.
Yeah. Well, just pirate it. Yeah.
Might buy a PC just for it.
Ooh.
I forgot to buy an Ethernet adapter. So Sony...
Speaking of buying things.
Yep, that works too.
Being online and offline.
Now we're talking. Sony is shutting down. It was rumored for a little bit in the last couple of weeks, and they officially said it, that they're shutting down the PS3, PS Vita, and PSP shops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll be able to re-download and play anything you've purchased.
In perpetuity, or, you know, for longer
for than yes, this. For longer than this. But, yeah, no new purchases, no in-game purchases either.
Mm-hmm.
Your wallet funds can't be redeemed. So it basically is like, get in there now, sort your shit out, and say goodbye.
Yeah, so it's July something for PS3. And what are the dates? There are some dates where they're doing it.
I am amazed that the PSP and PS Vita still have active stores.
Well, the PS Vita only came out less than 10 years ago. Came out more recently than the PS3. Wasn't particularly successful, for sure, but is not old.
Right.
One thing, yeah, that I think is slightly annoying about that is, because I've had this with the 3DS where I still really want to get the Majora's Mask remake on that and play it, which I've never played it before. And to find a used copy now is quite hard. They're all quite expensive if you go through eBay and stuff. They're like, you know, a lot of them go for like $80, $100, which is a lot.
Mm.
But, you know, you can still get on the eShop and just get it at the retail price. It's kind of at a certain point the only way to get a game for the retail price if it's the sort of thing that is now sort of hard to come by. So all this really does for a system like that, if anyone gets one used or whatever or tracks down the road, you're just going to have to pay heaps for the games through secondhand, which is a shame.
Yeah,
it's worse than that as well, because plenty of games only came out digitally.
Yes,
there are heaps of games that, especially with the PS3, only exist in digital versions on that thing.
Like a lot of indies and stuff like that,
right? And like AAA-ish games. There's heaps and heaps of shit. There's articles around being like, here are the best things to get before it all disappears that are probably worth looking at.
Well, it all disappears on the 2nd of July for the PS3. 27th August for the Vita. PSP is also 2nd July.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. So what doesn't make sense, it's fucking... it makes sense from if you're the person running it, you're like, yeah, I'm sick of having this shit on.
Yeah, we have to pay some people to take care of this.
The old console, the PS3 is like two gens back now, so it makes sense. It's like, yeah, I guess that thing shouldn't last forever, but yeah, when we're in the world of, yeah, there's certain things that only ever come out on that.
Yeah,
I guess the thinking is, what, you can also get them on the PS4 store?
No, you can't most of this stuff.
Okay.
And
well,
like,
there you go.
Yeah, there's so much stuff that is like just stuck on there.
Right.
And then the PS3 for a long time was the only place to get like older PS1 and 2 games digitally.
Yeah,
legitimately.
Right. Yep.
Same with the PSP for some PS1 games.
The PS3 only had backwards compatibility on the initial.
It had, so it
release.
Always had PS1 compatibility, but it was like emulated.
Right.
I believe for all of them, but the original set of PS3s had the actual PS2 chips on it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So they like were a PS2 and 3 and they could emulate one. And yeah, now the PS5 can do a 4's job, but a lot of it isn't available. So it just means that if you, in 1 year's or in 6 months' time, go like, oh, damn, I'm going to play Tokyo Jungle. It's like, fuck you, man.
Yeah.
You can't buy the product that was put out.
But I want to play Sly and Cooper on the go.
You can fucking shut up again. Stop getting on these planes. I'm sick of it.
Stop having these reasonably normal things that you want to do. Well, taking a PC on the plane is...
Because it seems weird because, like, obviously SNES games are no longer in production. Mm. There's no one making physical copies of SNES games anymore. Well, there kind of are weird companies doing that. But
yep.
for the most part, you can't... So game preservation has never existed.
Mm. Totally. Really. And it's been... And if it has, it's been gated behind, like with Nintendo, paywalls, you know? Like weird ones, specific ones.
Ones that they decide whether or not to put up and then they're on the Wii Shop for a bit, but then they shut that down and whatever.
Yes.
So, like... It isn't. There's nothing really technically different about the digital storefronts going out of production in the same way that PS1 discs went out of production at some point.
Yep.
However, PS1 discs always exist until they rot and then they don't. Mm-hmm. So everything's impermanent. I need to just get that into my brain and accept that death will come one day. That's the real issue that I have with digital storefronts shutting down is the fact that I am mortal.
Yeah.
Are you a big fan of those little plastic things that cans used to come in? Because they're around forever, baby.
That's what I want to be.
I want every game should come on one of them.
A turtle to choke on me is what I want. I want to live that long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really. I don't know. It's just like, and it's good that it is relatively simple if you are willing to do a bit of Googling to get or set up a console in such a way that you can download and play these games from other sources.
Mm.
That is accessible to everybody.
Yep.
I can show you that if you want. I can whip out a PS3 right now. We can put whatever the fuck on it. I don't want to do that, but for some reason I have a compulsion to.
Yep.
But I mean, that's...
why won't Sony address that?
Why won't Sony pay for my therapy?
That's ultimately what I'm asking for them
to
do.
PS Plus and 10 consultations a year.
Exactly. Those servers that they were running, take that money, funnel it into my health, mental health.
Yes.
When are they going to make a console for me? A console where physical copies keep getting made in perpetuity forever.
Exactly.
Set up a new landfill to deal with all the offshoots and all the, like, you know, waste.
Yeah.
How hard can it be?
Make the PS6 have a time bubble feature where when you're playing it, you do not age.
Isn't that trippy to think that one day there'll be a PS6?
Dude. I don't reckon there will be.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know what that is, but
yeah.
It of course it's gonna happen. It always happens. It's just strange to live in this new digital world. And then with the idea that you've got digital only consoles now,
yeah.
It becomes even stranger because so the PS3 came out in 2006, and so what's that, 15 years?
I was 20.
I was
19.
17. So the
I haven't done that for a while.
No, yeah. I forgot. I was like, why'd you say that for a second?
Then you realize the absolutely rational explanation.
An episode from 4 years ago.
Yeah.
See, things should not be impermanent. Yeah. We should keep doing them forever.
4 years ago when I was 29.
Yeah. So in 2035, 31. When I'll be 47, 46, the PS5 digital only version with its small hard drive that you can't just download all your shit onto will become useless. As does everything over time from consoles to penises. Don't worry.
All right.
They stop working.
Mm.
Yeah.
The planned obsolescence of mine is coming along beautifully.
Yeah. When are you gonna bring out the penis too? So yeah, I don't know. It's
I'm gonna put
inevitable.
Mine into one of those bins in the post office.
if you take it to the zoo, they have a recycling program there because of the gorillas. It is what it is. But go now if you want anything in particular that you never got around to.
Funny to think of the person who's just for whatever reason just got thousands of dollars sitting in their PS3 store wallet that they're just like, you know what? I've come into some money and I know that I'm just going to want to spend it on video games over the years. I'm just going to chuck it all into the wallet so that I don't have to worry about it. And then now they're like, fuck, just having to frantically go. And everything's been on sale for so long that most of it's like reduced.
Yeah.
So it's just taken them hours to click through and get through all this money.
I've done that on the Switch sometimes when you go and buy a game there. It's like, do you want to put the required amount or chuck $100 in?
I was about to bring up the fact that I've never done that and I don't understand why anyone would.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've done it when I've been like, you know what? I'm going to spend this money one day and I've got it right now. Suck it out of my bank account now.
Okay.
And then it's like a little freebie in a couple of months when you buy something else. You're like, huh, this game was basically free, forgetting that you paid for it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But if you keep it in your bank account, it'll accrue interest and you'll have more money to buy more games.
No.
But the value...
That's not how it works.
That's not how banking works.
No.
Okay.
My money...
Invested in Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Nintendo will give me some
money. Yeah, all my money's in... my Switch account.
Yeah.
The value of the Australian dollar shifts, but once it's in the Nintendo eShop, those games stay the same price.
So gold coins.
$80 forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Nintendo gold coins. They come back to you.
Exactly. That's a bad deal, but at least it's consistent.
But yeah, the secondhand market as well is the other thing where I would imagine that especially during the pandemic, there are a number of people who were like, you know what, I got a bit of extra time. I'm going to go back to the old PS3 that I used to enjoy when I was a boy.
Lots of people that I was working with were like, this is the time that I'll buy. Even people who were like, I'll just buy a PS4 because I never got around to it.
Yeah.
And went in on a bunch of secondhand games. They were just like, I won't go into EB Games. Mm. But when, my dad, will go and just flip through the pre-owned stuff and buy cheaper games because he's not worrying about what's brand new.
Yeah.
Great way to do it. But I wonder as well what the sales charts look like for this stuff.
Mm.
That'd be interesting to see
how much money
how much money are people losing out on going forward that was just kind of trickling in residually.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. It is what it is. It was always going to happen. But every time it does happen, I'm like, damn it.
Well, I'm getting used to the impermanence of ownership of games because I've been playing a bunch of shit on Game Pass. And this morning I played a brand new release called Narita Boy.
What's Narita Boy?
It is a side-scrolling 16-bit-esque, very retro-themed platform action game.
Wow.
It has a very cool aesthetic. I genuinely like it.
That is a brand new idea.
They've broken the mold here.
Holy shit.
Imagine an old game... Full stop. It's sort of like that Turbo Kid movie that came out a few years ago. It's like very over the top with its aesthetic.
Okay.
But it's also cool. It's also very well animated. And I've only played a little bit, just dipped in this morning. But I'm really into it. I've seen a lot of really positive reviews.
Mm.
It's not playing it with irony, which is good.
Okay.
That stuff never plays well. It's just
when
never
there's
very
like
funny.
The sort of humor of like trying to be like, I'm aware that I'm a little 16-bit guy.
Yeah, self-referential about the like
President Clinton.
Yes.
Is a bit. that never happens, but you know what I mean.
But yeah,
not to get a presidential knee pads. Am I right?
Jay Leno's voice.
Super Jay Leno.
Yeah.
What's this? That would be good.
That would
Super
be
Jay Leno
awesome.
Would be better than
a
16-bit
platformer where you play as Jay Leno.
And then they put out Super Jay Leno, and then they go to put out Super David Letterman, but they just re-release Super Jay Leno.
Yep.
And then they go out to put Super Conan O'Brien, and then they just re-release Super Jay Leno again. Now you can do that as a little meta joke.
Co-op mode where the second player is Kevin Eubanks.
Yep.
Okay.
You just push a button. You're like,
you drive one of his many cars from his famous car collection.
Yeah. Yep. You'd look in the mirror and go like, why'd I do it?
I've got a big chin, haven't I?
Yeah, 80% of the 80% of the cartridge space taken up by the audiophile of. Remember that every now and then a Super Nintendo game would have a bit of digitized speech in it.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my god.
Yeah. You hear this? You heard it? You seen this in the news?
You heard this? You seen this?
So the game's basically that. It's you play as Jay Leno, and it's really cool. No, but it does. It plays it straight. It tries to build this genuine sort of mythology. It's kind of like Tron. It's like sort of a bit of like you get put into this game world.
Yeah.
It's a little mixing of realities, but it's aesthetically it's more like Tron, which was an earnest sci-fi movie, than it is one of those pastiches that came out, in the past 5 years.
Cool.
But yeah, sick animation. I'm playing it on PC, and it does not feel great to play with just, WASD.
That makes sense.
maybe I'll plug in a controller.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it has, you know, gamepad controls. But early signs are great. I'm really enjoying it. And I don't usually get super into these 2D platformers. I think the last one I got into was like The Messenger, maybe,
right.
on mm-hmm. Switch, which is old and wasn't, you know, the greatest one. I think Katana Zero was the best one of recent years.
Speaking of Katana Zero, they said some stuff about their DLC where they're like, yeah, it's like half the size of the original game now, but it's still going to be free. So that seems cool.
Yeah, it's grown. It's blown out from what they thought it was. It's feeling more like a kind of midway sequel almost.
I want to go into that soon still.
It's really good. I'd never quite finished it off. I think I'm right near the end. But yeah, that's an interesting one because aesthetically it's very of that era, of that kind of 16-bit era. But like mechanically, it doesn't feel like it's trying to do, like the mechanics of it are very like current.
Right.
It doesn't feel, you know, like The Messenger sort of really does control like an old NES game.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Katana Zero is like a lot more fluid and
that's right. It's almost
not
about
a game that could run on the Super Nintendo, where it sounds like what you're saying about Narita Boy is like it theoretically could have. I guess Shovel Knight is the best example of that, where they made it feel, and they had the, I think they had the effects in there where if there are too many sprites on screen, it would start to flicker a little bit to kind of like really recreate that NES feeling.
Yeah, and I don't know if maybe I'm still coming to grips with it, but it did feel like the direction controls felt a little floaty.
A keyboard's never the way to play a platformer, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so
it reminds me a little bit of like a Prince of Persia, where it was like the controls, you had to like figure out the delays and shit.
Like a Commander Keen.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. I'll check in later.
I started a game on the Apple Arcade called Hitchhiker, which is a sort of first person 3D game where you play a hitchhiker. Okay, here we go. Now for context for the listener, I mentioned this before we started recording. Adam started to speak and then said, I'll save it for on the air. So me and Ben have been waiting for this one for about 45 minutes.
Do you want to
have it, big fella?
Do you want to say what your guess was?
Okay, Hitchhiker.
Yeah.
Is this Will Smith walking through a mountain range?
Do you want to hear what I was going to say?
Yep.
Hitchhiker. Is that about a guy trying to set people up on a hike?
Yep.
But it's Will Smith?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you got it.
I got it.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, we'll leave mine to off air.
Is it? is that what it is about?
Yeah, that's what it's about. Yeah. Wow, I'm actually horrified that I managed to so accurately tap into your mind. I'm scared for myself.
Is it about Will Smith with a backpack on?
Yeah,
Is that what it's about?
Wow. Okay, so it was you accurately predicted his joke, and he accurately predicted the game.
Is it about Fresh Prince?
So it's like it's first person 3D. You are a hitchhiker. There's basically the introduction. It just opens on you in a car with a stranger. There's kind of no backstory given to who you are. And I'm quite early on in it so far, but it seems to have a bit of Kentucky Route Zero kind of otherworldly kind of vibe. This happens very early on where the guy who's driving you around is telling you about his wife who's passed away, and you ask, do you have a photo of her? And he says, yeah, there's one in the glove box. You know, I haven't opened it for ages because there's stuff in there that reminds me of her. But open it up. There is a photo in there of her and me together. And you open the glove box up and it's a photo of you, like the character in the game, with just an unknown person.
Right.
So immediately you're like, how did you get this photo of me?
That's a cool.
And he's like, I don't know. Like, did you put that there? Like, I thought, I haven't, like I said, I haven't opened that in years because it reminds me of my wife. So immediately something strange is going on, and I get the impression from the trailers and stuff that you're on this little journey where you hitchhike with all these different people and you're sort of like solving this weird sort of otherworldly mystery. And like you do the guy driving you around tells you about a quiz that's on the radio every day that's like riddles that are given out, and you turn the radio on and then the radio sort of starts talking to you and the final
get to the chopper, get to the chopper.
So it's the funniest game ever.
The final riddle is like, I'm lying even though I'm not flat on the ground, and you basically have to, you get all these riddles and you have to like look around and guess what the radio's talk. So the radio
President
is like
Clinton
talking about stuff that's like.
We're going to do callbacks for the rest of while you describe this. Keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Oof, the pressure's on. Got to not give him enough room. Yeah. And so she sets up this this riddle of this person is a liar and you guess the guy driving you around and then he's interacting with the voice on the radio. So the radio is like, you know, cool. Present in the. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all sorts of like. Not so much Kentucky Route Zero in terms of like the style or aesthetic, but the kind of weird sort of yeah,
like off-putting,
paranormally,
right?
Yeah, it's cool, and especially you know if you've got Apple Arcade, then you've just got it. You can just play it now for free. Mm. Yeah, I'm keen to. It's basically a visual novel. Like you're not you know there's no real gameplay to it.
Right.
Yeah, kind of. Just kind of looking around the car and the environments are pretty nicely done. And yeah, it's cool. I reckon check it out.
Nice. We've been playing a game.
Yeah, before we go into that, I wanted to do a quick, real glowing recommendation.
Okay.
Of a game I played on Steam. It was like $10, I think, maybe even less. It was called...
$9.99.
I think it's probably pronounced Quomp, but it's spelled Q-O-M-P.
Heckin. Is this like Quop?
No, it is not.
Where you're the guy running when you've got to push the keyboard buttons?
No, it is not. It kind of looks, in the very first screen of the game, it looks like Pong.
Right.
But you play the ball.
Right.
And it turns into a...
right?
Get this.
L-M-N-O-P-Q.
What about a game of Pong where... You play the ball, man.
You know, if you're using the racket, you kind of are playing with the ball. So you kind of are playing
mate,
the
I've
ball.
Been playing with my balls.
Is this your fucking cousin or what did you...
Guys.
Why is this guy here?
Guys, come on. That was all right.
Man, get out of my shed.
So yeah, it was very cheap and for good reason because it's at maximum about 3 hours long.
Yeah.
But it took me... what was my
412 hours?
Put more time into it than Breath of the Wild.
I'm just trying to play the Pong bit. No, it took me like an hour and a half, or a little bit less even than an hour and a half.
Yeah,
I had to research what tennis was because I didn't understand the Pong mechanics. I had to watch a few hours of Wimbledon to get myself in the zone.
And then games. I didn't know what games were. So
if you count the amount of time I worked to afford the computer to be able to play this game on it, I, you know.
What about an IGN review where they factor that in? Yeah.
I was actually quite cold whilst playing this game. 4 out of 10.
And the mechanics of it are you can click, but it's basically just clicking. And every time you click, you change the angle that the ball is traveling in by 45 degrees.
Right.
And it's
so sometimes, like an 8-way directional thing.
Well, but you only ever change it one direction.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's
but like you would change it clockwise or whatever. Is that what you mean?
No, you can only change it back and forth and the change is based on what direction it's currently traveling in.
Right.
So you sort of have to know that in the back of your head, oh, it's going, you know, diagonal down, so when I click it'll go diagonal up. And then if I click again, it'll go diagonal down and you're trying to zigzag
your way.
Exactly. Right.
And are you wanting it to hit the paddles or are you wanting it to...
Well, that's literally the opening screen. You go past the paddles and you go into basically a sort of Metroid-esque maze. Sort of using, like pinball mechanics or Pong mechanics of bouncing this thing around.
Yeah.
And literally only being able to change the direction.
Mm.
And there are disappearing blocks, spikes on the walls... you got to unlock doors by finding the key. There's enemies that'll get you. And it's all like one hit kill stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is just, using that very limited series of mechanics to create a really creative game. And it starts to become a little bit more experimental as it goes on. Mm. That sort of last chapter is very like, sort of like the end of Inside. It's very like going hell for leather and it's really, really fun.
Cool.
But you've had this very precise, difficult... puzzly sort of game to get there.
That sounds awesome.
The whole progression is really well done, really well paced.
Yeah.
And I did it in like 2 sittings. But loved it from start to finish. No point was I bored. Basically couldn't put it down. I had to like do something halfway through.
Right.
But, like it was, like a page turner of a game.
Great.
Really, really liked it. Quomp.
Q-O-M-P.
Q-O-M-P.
Okay. Yeah.
It was really sick.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, from Q-O-M-P to M-O-N-S... T-E-R space H-U-N-T-E-R colon no backspace space R-I-S-E
Yeah.
No Monster colon. Hunter Rise. I don't believe there's a colon.
Yeah. No, yeah, though I wasn't in Monster Hunter World, was there?
I don't remember. I know, because it's like Monster Hunter World, colon, Iceborne.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. But that makes sense. Monster Hunter World.
Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter Rise.
Monster Hunter Rise.
Yeah. She's got Monster Hunter Eyes. Yeah. So, yeah, you and me have been playing this. It's the new Monster Hunter.
Yes.
Out on the Nintendo Switch.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which is the biggest issue with this game. It is... I'm really loving it.
Yeah. I didn't expect to.
Yeah.
Every time
that
I watch the trailer...
That surprises me as well, because you got really into World.
I just thought, well, this...
You were put off by the graphics, yeah, right?
It like doesn't look as good as World. Like, literally, it doesn't look as good.
It is a very strange step back for something that is, like... Part of the appeal of it, I think, is the realism of it. It's certainly in that last one where most of the reviews were like, this is fantastic.
Mm.
This series has been around for a while, and to see the monsters brought to life to this degree and the landscapes to look this realistic really does elevate this feeling of this world and like the complexity of it and these like big designs like feeling really real and really terrifying. So it is interesting to take this big step back in terms of the technology behind it.
I don't think it's necessarily a step back as a step to the side, because it is something this brings back. So I guess that is kind of back, but it brings back stuff about the series that World left behind,
right?
Which is the portability, which is huge.
Yep.
Because like local co-op stuff is big, especially in Japan, which is where this is from. And the other thing is the
land of the Monster Hunter Rising Sun.
Ooh.
Yep. Good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of puns this week. I'm sick of it. No more. the portability is like the hugest thing. And then also it's kind of mixing the mechanics of those other portable games with the World stuff. So the sort of fluidity and the realism of World combined with the more abstract kind of gameplay focused older ones, you know.
Right.
There was always kind of the portable versions and then the big HD versions that would come out, or not HD all the time, but you know, the console versions that would come out and be like sort of remasters of those almost along the way. So this is like a weird combination of the two, where it's the biggest thing is that it's portable again, which is why there are concessions made to make it the World aesthetic on the Switch. Mixed with that 3DS-ish aesthetic brought up a step. If you think of it as that brought up, then it works.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but yeah. Because you're like, oh, wow, there's like a small, very, very, very small village.
Yeah.
But it looks great. There's amazing music playing. The characters are designed well, if not actually filled with much character. But yes, you're right. Yeah. If you're like, oh, this was a handheld game that is now on a semi-handheld console.
Right.
But looks... good.
And it's a flat-out handheld console.
Yes,
you know.
True,
so, I think that is the because it's important to point out the visuals too, because they do affect the game.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the reason that they're so prominent in our discussion, because it's not just being like, it looks yucky.
Yeah.
Because the aesthetic and the design and all of that is really great.
Having not played World for a couple of years, maybe a year, it's easy for me to just go, this is what World looked like.
Right.
You know, like these. And it's designed in a very similar way, and the arenas and the arenas that you chase and hunt these monsters in my mind I'm like, yeah, this was basically what World was like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of tracks, a bunch of like marshland and grass and big trees and vines to climb. Like, it's all very similar, except the graphic fidelity is lower,
to the point where with such a long distance based game at times, and a game where you really want to be able to see exactly what you're doing.
Yep. And time it properly and all of that. Yeah.
It can be a little squinty.
Yep.
It can be a little muddy looking, and it can be technically under capable. Fuck. What's a better way of saying that? It can be underpowered technically, I guess.
Yeah.
To the point where it can be, you do just go like, you know? It's not the worst and it runs okay.
I was going to say, I don't think I'd notice any frame rate issues. I don't know if you have.
No, and it's stuck at like a 30-ish all the time. So that is kind of annoying.
I think the existence of this and how it looks is the thing that speaks the strongest to the Switch Pro being quite imminent and perhaps maybe even having been intended to have been out by now were it not for the events of 2020. Because, yeah, everything about it just seems like I reckon there's a little upgrade ready to go at some point. Because they did that. It sort of launched alongside the new Nintendo 3DS. There was a Monster Hunter game that I think you had to have the more powerful 3DS to play.
That might be
true. I believe.
But also, like, this is Capcom, so it wouldn't necessarily case that they would be that tied in with Nintendo. But it is a Nintendo exclusive for a while, but then it is coming to PC later, which might be the version to stick it out for if you want to.
Yeah.
Because that will solve all of this, which are the only real problems I have with this game, is that it sometimes just is a little more difficult to get what you want to get done. Because of the graphical fidelity of it, which is annoying. And it just also, it looks muddy and shitty sometimes.
I've played it maybe 3 or 4 hours and so I'm still pretty early on and there's not been any hugely difficult monsters.
Right.
Although I do have retained a lot of the muscle memory of World because it is a very specific kind of combat and the things you need, it's a lot of like retreating and re-healing and like chasing and trapping. All of that stuff is great. Like that gameplay loop, it's kind of complex, but once you have it, it's really rewarding and it just gets more satisfying as the games continue.
I've gotten completely hooked in with this one. There's no story really.
No, there isn't.
There's nothing to do other than the mechanics of the game, which in this one are fucking great.
Yes.
Like the new movement stuff that is in here is like
the little bug stuff flying around.
So you get a wire bug and it's basically like a magic whip that lets you fly about.
Yeah.
And so you can travel really quick forward or you can travel really quick up and then kind of run up a surface a bit. You get a couple of different wire bugs, so you get to use it twice and sometimes three times if you find another one.
Like use it to do attacks and combo, like, you know, attack and retreat. Like it's a cool addition.
Jump on top of a monster and stuff. And it doesn't really come into the fold too much when you're actually fighting monsters. It does help you, but it really makes traversing the world and exploring so much more fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Close to a Breath of the Wild-y kind of way where you're just like, oh, cool. They figured out exactly how to do this and it works.
Yeah.
And that's great. And like, just the visual stuff is like a lot of the plants and everything looks so grainy that you kind of can't tell where you're going sometimes
to me.
But it's such a, it's kind of just something we want to get out of the way.
Talking about
it, because the core stuff that is there is fucking so much addictive fun.
Yes.
It's so straightforward and basic. It's like, In one sense, because the only real goal is like, go kill this thing.
Yeah, kill this thing, collect its armor plates and make better armor so you can kill a bigger thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like a boss rush thing, basically, cross with like a, I don't want to use Destiny necessarily as the thing, but something like that where it's just like, get these things, get materials, and you'll make more stuff and you'll kill a bigger monster.
And here's a list of quests and a list of sub-quests. And, I mean, similar. I mean, there isn't a story at all in this, is there? Like,
I mean, there's people in the town and they go like, oh, my, you know, I'm missing this. And, or this monster's fucking with this thing that isn't really here.
And I guess the setup is like, it's a special time of year where there's more monsters around.
Right. There's like a monster attack that they're worried about.
Yeah.
But kind of not really.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, kind of.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
They're all drunk. These monsters are throwing up in the streets. It's fucking disgusting.
Mm.
They've thrown up all on the textures of these rocks, which is why they look the way they do. But that stuff really doesn't matter because the loop of the way the combat is, the fun of experimenting with all these different weapons. It's kind of closer to like a fighting game or something than
a fighting game or like a Hitman where it's like, this is your target. You can, I mean, there are less ways to kill it than in Hitman, but that's essentially it.
You can't dress up as a Playboy bunny and drop a canoe onto its head.
There's a lot of different stuff you can dress up in.
And like the traps and the lures and the bombs and tranquilizers, like there is a bunch of different ways to approach it.
Yeah.
And just the weapons, like you said, there are, the differences between weapons change the experience of the game in a huge way.
Yeah.
And once, like, because I, you know, played World and I was like, all right, the twin swords, that's the way I do it. Quick attacks, use agility, run away. Like, that's the way I love to play it. But, like, you get given a longsword at the start and I was like, it takes like fucking half an hour to swing the sword. This is bullshit. And it's a different game, basically.
Totally. You'll be swinging and missing. But if you do get a hit, you know, big hit. And
I think that's the thing I struggled with to really get into with World, because I liked everything about it aesthetically and I could see that there was a cool game there, but I just didn't give it the time to really grab me because I think I was just using the wrong weapons for me. Like I didn't get that one where you go, that was enormously helpful with Dark Souls where I just stopped and restarted and played as a different class because it was like, oh, okay, this makes it a lot easier for me and more enjoyable to go through and do it. And I hadn't quite, I kept picking things where it was like, yeah, the animation time of attacking was just so long and I was just consistently getting my ass handed to me and going like, oh, I can't quite. And also I remember the big narrative around World was like, this is the closest thing to like an entry level version of this that they've ever made. Like it was really talked about as like, if you've never gone in before, this makes it easier to get in than a lot of the other ones, which are quite prohibitive. And I just didn't find that to be the case in the very little that I played of it. So,
and that is the thing that people have been saying about this, and I disagree with it again, because there's a lot of tutorializing in the form of just windows that pop up and say, hey, here's what this is, remember it, bye.
Yeah.
It's similar to like Xenoblade Chronicles 2, remember how that would be like, here's your magic thing, and like in 10 hours you'll need to use it for this. Fuck you, bye.
Yeah.
And it does a bit of that, and you really do have to take your own time to go to the little training area, try out the different weapons on the big puppet that's in there.
Yep. Aggro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, ah, get your sword out of my ass. Here comes Fucko the Clown. What was his name?
Crikey.
Crikey the Clown. God. Yeah. I had all his hot political takes.
It definitely seems like a game where you need to, if you're new to it, as you're starting, don't be ashamed to, you know, Google a beginner's guide. Like those articles of like, here's the 10 things that you should know when you go in that it doesn't do a great job of telling you.
Right. Yeah. And give all the different weapons a try and that sort of stuff.
I even found, like, paid attention to the tutorials and then was like, what's this exclamation point in the menu? Oh, it's all like other stuff that it didn't actually explain in pop-up menus as you were playing.
There's heaps of that.
You still have to read all of that as well.
Yeah.
And that stuff is not very well written or explained either, I don't
think.
No. I reckon I got into this one because I'd already played one.
And that's the reason that most people get into most, like, they've had that experience with one of the games along the road.
Mm. Yeah.
And you kind of do just have to do it with whichever game you're getting into it with.
Because even the demo, I hit a wall with that. I think it was the thing where, it was one specific move and it wouldn't let you, you know, the thing where it won't let you move on unless you've properly done it twice. And I was like, I'm doing it. I'm pushing those buttons. And it just like, I could not get it to work. Right. I was like, I don't understand what I'm doing wrong because I feel like I'm following the tutorial, but.
Right. Well, and once you get the hang of everything, it is actually a lot simpler than it appears at first because there's a lot of different menus. There's a lot of different things that you can go and cook or build or whatever or buy or do in the field and move in this certain way. And it comes across a lot more overwhelming than I think the actual loop of it once you're in is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think because it's giving you options.
Right.
You know, it's like you can play this in about 30 different ways, but you'll find one. And essentially, like for me, it's just like dodge, roll, and attack, dodge, roll, and attack, heal,
and
dodge, roll, and attack.
None of the combos with any of the weapons are that confusing.
Yeah.
Everything, once you kind of narrow down on how you're going to want to play it, you get there.
Yeah.
So, the two things are that it's a shame that it's on the Switch because it does kind of affect how enjoyable it is to play, which is a shame. In more than just, this doesn't look as good, in a way of like, this doesn't look as clear as would be helpful.
But also, it doesn't look as good. And for me, that is a legitimate criticism because I like things that look good.
I think it's just one of those things where it happened when the Wii was later on where it's like, it looks good for a Wii game.
Mm.
And at some point, it's just like, well, the hardware it's on is the hardware it's on. And I guess I find it. But
PC
version.
If World hadn't come out, then it may not be as big.
Sure.
It sounds like it'd still be a bit of an issue, but you're not drawing that comparison to this one before it that looked so good and pushed this powerful hardware really far.
And that one is presumably coming for the PS5 and stuff later on.
Yeah.
And there's a PC version of this coming down the line. So those issues will be fixed. I'm assuming that will run high resolutions and 60 frames and stuff, which will make it look cool.
Yeah.
But that's one thing. The onboarding process of this is just as off-putting as all of the other ones. However, the main game that is in there is so much fucking fun. It is so satisfying to go into these really cool little fun environments that feel great to move around in now, because you've got these Palamutes now.
You've got a little dog.
You got a little fucking dog,
you got
man.
A dog, you got an owl, and you got a cat.
Like all the best dogs that I always wished would exist, you can ride this fucking
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can ride around it. No one's going to get mad at you. No one's going to say, Adam, you're breaking the back of that dog. You can just move quicker on it, and you can use your items when you're on the back of it. You can
being a little kid and looking at a dog that was big enough and thinking, I reckon I could get away with this.
It'd be sick.
Yeah, I reckon I could just about, give me another 6 months and I'll be too big, but I reckon I could just about pull this off.
And you know what? Pulling it off in this game, it feels just as good as you always imagined.
That's what you thought,
you can attack from the back. It's so much faster. That is, I mean, it's a staple of the game. You don't run very fast, but
no.
Now you have a dog to ride. That reminded me of the customization. It's got a great character creator, and you can customize your little pals as well.
I spent about 3 hours right at the start fucking making my shit.
Yeah.
And I'm not happy with it.
But I was going to say, graphical fidelity aside, the aesthetics are great. Like,
yes.
I really like the score specifically. I think it's helping a lot because the graphics are a little muddier. But the design, you know, the costumes, the village itself, the monster design, like, it's really well designed, which, yeah, you're right. It means it will sing on PC. It'll look amazing.
I've always loved the very like, goofy way that the characters run in this. It's, like, very kind of anime, for something that's so sort of... I really like that clash of, like, it's quite
their legs
serious,
way out the front,
but
being
fuck! Yeah, but then it's very cartoony in other elements of it. I really like that kind of juxtaposition that they do so well.
It's a great time. Like, especially if you've never gone in on one of these, but you do like the Souls games in particular, basically these monsters feel like a boss from that, where they've got their set of moves and you kind of got to learn it, and they go through some stages, and it's pretty much that game.
Yeah, true.
In a more... content rich setting where you don't just fight them once, you're going to fight them again and again, but to get these other things, and it's still fun fighting them every time. Because then the other aspect is that I haven't fucked with as much, but is the multiplayer, and it's kind of built around that. After a certain point, it's like the point of these games is to do it with friends. Which is the point of it all, really, huh? Friendship's what makes the world go round.
The point of this podcast,
a whole bunch of friends just fucking turning that crank in the center of the earth, turning the world around. So that stuff seems to be just as good as it is in these games. I can't report on that more thoroughly just yet, but I intend to, because I'm super hooked by this. It's such a satisfying, fun gameplay contained in this game.
And they
experience?
Have keep adding stuff to it too. Like, there's the first update is like very soon, right? It's like start of April.
Yeah. And they tend to be like a seasonal monster comes along. It's like, oh no, it's the Christmas Wyvern.
It's Christmas Jazz Jackrabbit.
Yeah. I'm assuming they'll do the same thing with this one that they do with all of them, where later on down the line, there'll be, I guess, an expansion now rather than a whole new game where it's like the high rank monsters and shit.
Right.
So there's things to do here for fucking ages. It's huge. And if you don't get into that style of gameplay, and if you don't like the boss fight nature of this game, or you just don't kind of want to put that time in to get it to click with you, because it is a little bit of effort, this one is no different to any of the others. This one probably won't be for you again. And if you just don't like it, then they haven't really changed anything. There's minor changes like the dog and like the climbing and whatever that are really cool, but they're not going to win anyone over.
And I will say, if you are someone who loved World and does think, well, this looks like an old game, you know, this doesn't look very good, I had that opinion, and within an hour of playing it, I was completely hooked again.
Right.
So it's like, it's just that perfect balanced gameplay that they've created is always good.
Yeah, totally. And I don't think there's anything wrong with waiting for the PC version. I don't think that's morally reprehensible at all. Super addictive, very, very fun, very well made and just slick in its presentation. I really love the music as well.
I think I'm going to give this a try, like maybe this week after the show's done.
Yeah.
I wanted to jump in but didn't really have the time during the week.
That's fair. Well, because it's something where weirdly you could play it for just like a quick little half an hour less
But you need to be
hunt my monster.
You need to be in.
Yeah,
you got it.
Yeah.
And
I was like, I don't have. I need like a couple of days to just have the free time to just get all that, you know,
and it becomes
waiting out of the way.
Very Moorish. Once you've got your sights on something you want to work up to, and you know the sort of ingredients you're going to need, you're like, okay, I just have to do this, this, and this. And it's like, oh, that'll take 6 hours.
Yeah, well, I was doing that this week with a comedy show. It's like, here's the beast that I have to slay. Okay, I need this, this, this. I need fucking material. I need some confidence. I need
little
more
friendly
time.
Dog to help you out.
Exactly.
Ben's in the show, right?
Sitting there going, woof, woof, after every punchline. Then I rub his little belly. Yep. It's great. Yeah, yep. it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, looking forward to going in.
Monster Hunter Rise is good.
Also, I think I'm going to go home and set up a US PlayStation 5 store account so that I can get my greasy little mitts on Disco Elysium.
Oh, I want to play that by next week as well.
Well, yeah. I have it on Steam, so I got the update.
Shut the fuck up.
So let's all play it before for next week, I guess.
I reckon that sounds doable.
Yeah, that'll be going on.
If I'm not playing too much Monster Hunter.
All right, I might.
All right.
I might be playing too much Cyberpunk because I've started a whole new game on that. I'm like 20 hours in again.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
It's crazy. You said, because there was that big patch the other day with all these fucking notes. You're like, I haven't really noticed any bugs, which seems insane to me because there are so many fucking bugs that I've had.
In the second playthrough, no bugs. I changed
You are playing it on the version that is now delisted from the shop because it was so broken, right?
No, I'm playing the PC version.
Oh.
Yeah. I've been playing it on PC.
There's egg on my face. Yeah, then.
And I got a new monitor.
Call me a fucking omelet because I'm a dumb cunt.
Because I'm going to eat you up. I got a 1440p monitor now, so it looks better. I had to turn on the DLSS, which is making it run amazingly fast and the frame rate is super high, but the textures are suffering.
It does look blurry, the DLSS stuff, and people champion it like it's this great thing, and I really am not that big of a fan of the way that it does look. It's cool. It's better that, like, It looks better than the 720p or whatever it's actually running it as. But, yeah.
You know. I would rather 30 frames per second and perfect textures with no pop-in. But, yeah, DLSS is a frame rate.
That shouldn't affect the pop-in, the DLSS stuff.
Well, the textures load slower, I'm finding.
That's weird. That's got to be a something else.
Maybe that's just my... Maybe it's the resolution being higher. It's just all loading a bit slower.
Maybe. I don't get why that is. But you know what I don't get? Heaps.
I think I just want to...
Or it could be one of its many, many bugs.
Maybe that's a bug.
Yeah.
But it's still... I really do like the story. I think it's a really interesting story that I'm now seeing through a different branching path.
Is it particularly different this time as well?
Yeah, it is.
That's interesting.
You can make the opposite decisions, I guess.
Right.
But they do result in very different story paths.
Cool.
I did read that they're moving away from their multiplayer plans.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
They probably are just going to work on the single player game.
That makes sense.
Until people don't hate them.
Good luck.
Yeah.
They really got a big swell of negative press and opinion.
Yeah, they finally worked it out. Good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested to, because I got kind of halfway through or something.
Right.
Or maybe even close to the end and just got kind of bored of it because I wasn't that into the story.
Right.
I thought Keanu Reeves was fucking terrible like he is in everything, honestly.
Yeah, I don't.
He's good as like an action, like he moves well.
Yeah.
In an action movie, but he is not a good actor.
He's better as an audience surrogate, like as a player cipher.
Yeah.
Rather than what he is in this game. It is interesting, like, I've watched a few, you know, big long, you know, YouTube dissections of like, this is what clearly the story was going to be before they hired Keanu Reeves.
Oh, really?
And it's very different and it's much more focused on the player character.
Right.
But it's still cool and I love the world and this higher resolution, you know, playthrough that I'm doing looks fucking incredible. And it makes it tough to play other games because I'm like, nothing looks photorealistic like this did.
Right.
But still an interesting, weird thing in gaming.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's wrap it up there for another week on Filthy Casuals. Head to filthycasuals.com.au for the links to all the other stuff we have going on, the socials.
YouTube, we should say as well. We finished Heavy Rain.
Yes.
So I think the last episode, if you're on Patreon, you've already seen the last episode of that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are not, then it'll be up next week. Yep. And then after that, we've already decided we're going to play It Takes Two.
Yeah.
Which is a new game.
Yep.
People who made a way out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the next one.
So yeah, we've now got three full series that you can watch on YouTube of us playing through three separate games, A Way Out, Until Dawn, and Heavy Rain. So check that out. Get on the Patreon. You can get the videos early. You can get a bonus episode every week. Comedyfestival.com.au for tickets to the last couple of nights of my show. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
get to the chopper, get to the chop, get to the chopper.
I miss Flash.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.